Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Allahumma وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. I am very happy to be here today. And I cannot express enough my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gifting us with this great understanding of brothers and sisters in our community who are involved in teaching, the understanding of the need to work together, to collaborate, to exchange our experiences, and to show that we as a community are giving utmost significance to education and we don't miss any opportunity for improving our performance. So inshallah, we hope and we pray that this MSEN project will become more and more inshallah established and would inshallah include all madrasas, the schools in this country that offer Islamic education. I also like to express my thanks to all the brothers and sisters in MSEN who have been working hard voluntarily for taking MSEN forward with different projects. And the meeting today is one of the projects, but not the only project, and I think you had already a report. So we thank all of them for the sincere work that they do for the community. I had prepared two materials for today, but maybe the time is not enough, so I share with you only one of them, and inshallah in another time I will talk about some of the things that teachers should observe in classroom according to Shahid Thani, the second martyr. We had a meeting for some teachers a year ago, and I had mentioned some of the points, and I thought today is good to continue, but because time is short, we leave it for another time. What I want to talk now is about rights of learners over the teachers. In the opening ceremony of Jose, I mentioned that we believe that our students have great rights over us. This doesn't mean that teachers don't have rights over the learners, but Islamically, this is mutual. And because all of us are here as teachers, so we should know what rights we have to observe with respect to our learners. I have the honor also of being a learner, so I try to observe the rights of my teachers as well, inshallah. There are a few hadith that can help us understand these rights, and inshallah we reflect on these hadiths briefly. And I would like also to benefit from your ideas. If you have any ideas, any comments, you know, we can benefit inshallah afterwards. The first hadith is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is actually about rights of both teachers and learners. لِينُ لِمَن تُعَلِّمُونَ وَلِمَنْ تَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهِ. Rasulullah said, you should be soft and gentle with respect to the people that you teach and the people from whom you learn. So when it comes to education, there is no place for being harsh. Education and harshness would not work together. There can be discipline. Discipline must be there. We don't like this idea of making classroom a game room. You know, in some forms of education, you see that there is no discipline at all, there is no respect at all, there is no haya at all, and the teachers have to just exhaust themselves just managing the classroom and keeping people under control. This is not Islamic idea, but what Islam says that there must be discipline, but with softness. There must be strength, but with lenience. Actually, the Quran is also very clear, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Quran. It doesn't say Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahhar, Al-Muntaqim 'allama al-Quran. A teacher should not be manifesting those attributes of Allah which are attributes of glory. A teacher should manifest the attributes of Allah which are the attributes of beauty and jamal and above all, rahmah. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an. Khalaqa al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan. So to be soft and gentle is very important. And this is not possible without training. It's not something that you can say, okay, when I go to the classroom, I will be a soft person and gentle person, but the rest of my life, I'm a harsh person. There is no such a thing. You need to have a character, which is a soft character. Then it shows itself in the classroom, but also outside the classroom. If people see that teachers with themselves or teachers with the management of the school or madrasa, they are not soft, they are not nice, they are not kind outside the classroom, then they realize that it's artificial. And something is artificial would not have impact for the long term. So we need to have a soft character like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had a soft character. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُ. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says about the rights of a learner. And this learner can be your student, can be your children, or can be any young person in the community. One of the things that we have to observe is not to limit our educational role to classrooms. Sometimes when we have jama'ah, when we have congregational prayer, that is also a classroom. Not official classroom, but the way we treat children in the masjid, that is also very important. And we have to observe many of these things, because they can learn many things informally, and actually the things that we learn informally are accepted more easily, and they become part of our character. So with respect to young children, students, members of the community, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, حَقُّ الصَّغِيرُ رَحْمَتُهُ فِي تَعْلِيمِهِ. One of the rights of a young person, a young child, a young student, is to be merciful with respect to that saqir, that young person, in his education. You have to have this softness, kindness, rahmah. وَالْعَفْوُ عَنْهُ. And to forgive him. Again, I emphasize that we should have discipline. It's not that when we say we forgive, it means that we don't expect anything, we don't ask for anything. Those who do, for example, their study, their homework, and those who don't do would be the same. But what is important is we don't do anything out of anger. we have control over ourselves, we bring discipline to our class, but all out of love. When a doctor finds that for the health of the patient, there is a need for surgery. Maybe there is a need for injection. Maybe there is a need for the person not to eat for sometimes certain issues. The doctor would not do this with anger, to satisfy his anger. And therefore, because he does it with cool-mannered approach, he knows how much he should do. But if you become angry, then instead of making one injection, you make 10 injections. Or instead of making the injection painless, you try to make the injection as painful as possible. So a teacher, an educator, or parent who want to discipline, if they have control over their emotions and they don't do anything because they are made angry, then they know what is the balanced measure, and the child also understands. The child understands whether you are doing something to please yourself or you are doing something out of the concern that you have for the well-being of the child. So, you should sometimes forgive. One of the things that we need to observe is, as an educator, we have to discern between major problems and minor problems. When it comes to minor problems, sometimes you have to overlook and you have to ignore. Even you shouldn't mention that I'm going to forgive you, because this means that you have accepted that person doing these things. Sometimes you ignore so that the person's haya remains there and thinks that you didn't understand. If you say, I understood, but I'm forgiving you, this is bad. So sometimes you have to ignore. Sometimes you have to forgive. It means that you show that you understood, but you say, I forgive you. And sometimes you shouldn't forgive, depending on the situation. But if for every little thing you want to correct the person and punish the person or discipline the person or warn the person, then your word would lose its impact. So you have to find out what are the most important things with which you have to be strict, and what are those things which you can be very flexible. You know, we have this experience that, for example, when people recite Quran, you know, sometimes, you know, we have Quranic circles, and people want to learn. Sometimes you see some people in every line, they make few mistakes. So, if for every mistake you want to correct them, then this person would lose, you know, his confidence and cannot even continue. So you have to ignore many of the mistakes. Every line, every 2-3 lines, maybe one big mistake, something that he keeps repeating. But other odd mistakes you just ignore. So the same is with education. وَسَتْرُ عَلَيْهِ. This is very important to observe the privacy and confidentiality of the life of your students. If in your class, in your madrasa, in your community, some of the young members have some problems, this is amana. You cannot say this to other people. Sometimes maybe even you should not let parents know. Sometimes you need to tell parents. It depends. It's not that always you say to the parents. Maybe there is something that between you and the student, you can help that he or she get rid of that bad practice or bad habit. Sometimes you have to speak to parents. But in the same way that you don't want people to know about your problems or your children's problems, you should keep the problems of your students very confidential. This is one of the requirements, one of the huquq of your students. وَالرِّفْقُ بِهِ وَالْمَعُونَةُ لَهُ. To be moderate and to help. You have to have very good sense of understanding when to help, where to help, and how to help. We don't want to help too much, because then they become dependent and lazy. But also, many times help is needed. Like a person that is learning, a child who's learning to walk. A child who is learning to walk needs help, but that help has to be very carefully planned and measured. If you don't let your child to walk by himself and sometimes, you know, fall down, he would never learn. He would always ask you, you know, please take my hand, I want to walk. This is not good. But also you cannot let your child walk in dangerous places or make mistakes that would endanger his or her life. So you need to have supervised help, balanced help, not to make him too much dependent on you, but not also to forget him and let him go through all the difficulties and challenges. So, الرفق به والمعونة له. In another hadith, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam said, أَمَّا حَقُّ رَعِيَّتِكَ بِالْعِلْمِ. We have this beautiful concept in Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And the late Imam Khomeini used to mention this hadith many times. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعُ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. You are all like a shepherd. You are all responsible with respect to people who are creation of God. And you will be asked about the way you have provided them with care. كُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. So, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, with respect to the people who are under your care in the field of education, حق رعيتك بالعلم. Some people maybe are under my care financially. Some people maybe are under my care, for example, for, I don't know, safety, security, for different things. But the people who are under your care, the people that you are responsible for their education, they have some rights over you. The first, فأن تعلم أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّمَا جَعَلَكَ قَيِّمًا لَهُمْ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. You have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to the knowledge that has come to you, has been given to you, has made you a guardian for them. Qayyim. What is Qayyim? Some people don't understand the concept of Qayyim and sometimes develop negative conception about Qayyim. In Farsi, this happens, maybe in other languages also. Sometimes when we say Qayyim, we think of a person who is dictating and controlling everything and doesn't let us, you know, to even breathe. We think Qayyim means a person who is very dictating and very strong and harsh. But this is not the meaning of Qayyim. Qayyim is the one who helps you to stand on your feet. We have Qa'im and we have Qayyim. Qayyim makes you Qa'im. Qayyim is the one that helps you to understand your feet. So it's a matter of support. We want to support. We don't want to make people just obedient or, you know, lower citizens or, I don't know, lower human beings. So Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you qayyim, means has made you a kind of guardian, care provider for those things that you have learned to be passed on to the people who haven't got this knowledge. But it's not just a matter of passing on information. One of the big things in Islamic education is that we don't just pass on the information. You know, some people think, unfortunately, in modern societies, some people think the role of teacher and school is to pass on the information.
And if you can do it without them, with machine, then you don't need a teacher. And you don't need a school. People can do it, you know, automatically. Like what? For example, what is the role of bank to dispense money? Okay, if you can do it online or if you can do it, you know, with cash machine, you don't need bank, you don't need a staff. You do it automatically. But it's not the Islamic understanding of education. Education is not just to dispense knowledge or to pass on the information. Education is to help person develop and become a learned person, become a moral person, become a better human being, and a good servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need qayyim. We don't need just a tape recorder or a database or a software that gives us the information. وَفَتَحَ لَكَ مِنْ خَزَائِنِ. With respect to the knowledge that Allah has given you and has opened up for you the treasures of knowledge. We have not been much of knowledge. مَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We have been given little. But this little that Allah has given us is very valuable. And if we appreciate that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more. But what is important is that when you have been given some knowledge, it means that at least the treasure is opened. The gates of the treasure of knowledge are open for you. You must appreciate that. And one way to keep these gates open is to teach it other people. We have this concept in many hadiths. Inshallah, another time we can explain. If you don't teach, the gates will be closed. You have to teach other people so that the gates, inshallah, remain open and indeed become wider. فَإِذَا أَحْسَنْتَ فِي تَعْلِيمِ النَّاسِ. If you do your best in teaching and educating people, وَلَمْ تَخْرُقْ بِهِمْ. You don't harass them, you don't, you know, treat them harshly. وَلَمْ تَفْجَرْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And also you yourself don't become exhausted and, you know, fed up and bored. You know, a good teacher knows all the difficulties of the job, but would still enjoy. When you don't enjoy teaching, I think you need to a little bit revise your intention, why you are teaching. When your child wants to speak, okay, keeps constantly making mistakes, but you don't feel bad, you don't feel that all my, you know, efforts for teaching him how to speak is useless. Indeed, you smile and enjoy even his mistakes, because you know that these mistakes are steps for learning and mastering language. If we love our students, if we love them, then even the mistakes will be tolerable and sometimes even enjoyable, because you see that these are steps towards improvement. So you should not be harsh with them. You should not also feel hopeless and despaired or exhausted. Then if this happens, if إِذَا أَحْسَنْتَ فِي تَعْلِيمِ النَّاسِ, if you are doing your best and you are not harsh and you are not exhausted and feeling sad and exhausted, زَادَكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would increase His favor upon you. So, when we say لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, if you are grateful, I will increase you certainly. So for teachers to be grateful is this. And for Allah to increase His blessing and bounty over teachers is to increase His favor upon them. which is knowledge, which is understanding, which is light, nuraniya. وَإِنْ أَنْتَ مَنَعْتَ النَّاسِ عِلْمَكَ. But if you don't share your knowledge with people, if you keep your knowledge for yourself, one of the things that I would like to encourage everyone is to volunteer for madrasas, for schools. If there is opportunity for employment, of course, you should appreciate, even if the payment is not like other places. Always, it seems always, maybe a universal case, that teachers are not paid good, you know, and well in every country. But maybe in Islamic schools is even less. Or many times you volunteer. Anyone who has a capacity to help and to serve should take this as an opportunity. It's not that when we are paid, we are happy, and when we are not paid and we do as a volunteer, then we feel a kind of loss, that for the sake of Allah, I accept this loss. It's a loss, but I accept. No, this is not a loss. This is achievement. This is an opportunity that you have to volunteer. I am not denying the needs of life. We have to have some income. But if there is opportunity to volunteer, we should appreciate. And we shouldn't feel this is a loss. This is a great achievement. And I think everyone, even if he has full-time job or she has full-time job, is able to find some type of time and, you know, maybe arrangement to volunteer a few hours. This is barakah for your life. This blesses your life. If you help children of the community, Allah would help you with the teaching of your own children, education of your own children. So, if you don't share your knowledge with people, and أَنْتَ مَنَعْتَ النَّاسَ عِلْمَكَ, you deny people access to your knowledge. أَوْ خَلَقْتَ بِهِمْ عِنْدَ طَلَبِهِمُ الْعِلْمِ, or you have been harsh with them, either harsh by showing bad akhlaq or by putting too many conditions. Some people, when you ask them to teach, they put too many conditions. In the end of the day, you think it's better not to invite them for teaching because too many conditions. So, if you are harsh or you are not sharing your knowledge, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَسْلُبَكَ الْعِلْمِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the right to take away from you the knowledge. Either by losing your knowledge, you forget, or sometimes you don't lose your knowledge, but you cannot benefit from it. رُبَّ عَالِمٍ قَتَلَهُ جَحْلُهُ. If I have car, but I cannot use it, it's like not having car, even it's worse, because I have to pay, you know, tax also, and insurance, but I'm not using the car. So if I have ilm and I'm not using that, I am losing. كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَسْلُبَكَ الْعِلْمِ, and something else. وَبَّهَاءَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the people who have knowledge some awe, some respect, some kind of charisma. Everyone honors them, everyone respects them. So, if you don't appreciate that, Allah will take away that from you. وَيُسْقِطَ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ مَحَلَّكَ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring to a lower situation, would lower your position in the heart of people. Okay, our time is over, so I stop here. And inshallah, maybe another time we can continue this discussion. Sheikh Jahangir said maybe we can have some questions and answers, so I am happy to receive some of your questions. Don't ask me difficult questions. Thank you. I am at your service. Yes.
First of all, I need to really thank you for the beautiful, amazing speech. Secondly, I need to ask you a practical question. When teaching the teenagers, we face challenges with actually some challenging students with challenging behaviors. Maybe they're hyperactive or something else. What is your guidance and what is your advice for us to deal with this kind of student?
Many points to consider, but I may just share one point. Is for such cases, never make decision on the spot. So if you have such a person, means this is a problem which is continuing. At home, plan for how to treat. Never, you know, right at that time say, I have to do this. Because then it puts the risk at a very high level. If you think at home that I have such a student, has this problem, let me think about it, let me speak with my friends and colleagues, let me read some books, let me ask a scholar, then come up with an idea that what would be the best way that I can handle this, then it's much better than immediately reacting. It would not be too late if you wait another week. It's better than rushing, not being prepared.
The problem that we really get into actually sort of a dilemma. We think whether we decide to keep the student that with challenging behavior, that student will actually consequently actually put our class in danger, kind of, you know, yeah, and make all the students exhausted. We may think that, you know, it's not really worth it to keep that student and that to really distract all of the students. What is your idea?
This question is part of a whole range of issues. First of all, what is our admission policy? You know, even educators have different policies. Some educators, I remember one of the ulama who has very good reputation, and he's passed away, in having Islamic school even in the time of last regime. And he was insisting on the fact that we don't take all the students in our Islamic school because we want to help them. He was insisting that we have certain requirements. If we take all the naughty and, I don't know, misbehaved people, then we cannot set up a nice environment. So although we feel sad and responsible towards them, but we don't want to put all the system into risk. So we have to have clear policy about difficult students, especially morally difficult students. Should we admit them in the first place, or we shouldn't admit them? And if we admit them, what type of arrangement we have so that we work on them, not that they damage our work. So it's very important. So a great part of the success of any school or madrasa is their admission. If you don't have proper admission, then you will always go through challenges without you knowing. So we have to have clear guidelines for admission. It's good if someone, not all the madrasas in school, maybe we should have maybe one madrasa for difficult people. Maybe for the people who have criminal record. No problem, but you have to be prepared for that. Not that, you know, you bring innocent children and you are not prepared to handle these cases and then you let everyone be affected. Any question, any comment? Yes.
Sorry, can we because, you know, for me, teaching is a very difficult job. It's not that easy, and if we think it's easy, we are wrong. I mean, maybe it's the hardest job in the whole world. And you are trying to, you know, to send them, especially the new generation, to the right path. And the way I'm still on path, and for me, it's very difficult. But sometimes I think we need to do, I don't know, maybe for you, as an organization, trying to do training sessions for the teachers in order to prepare the teachers into, I don't know, the right techniques, the right way, because I believe if you prepare the teachers at the beginning, then it's going to be much, much easier, like, in a job for all the teachers and even for you, because I know you and Jeff Issa, you are, like, you know, one of the famous people in our, like, you know, so the Islamic society. So I think it's your responsibility to find a scheme that can guide and lead and train the teachers, of course, for the best.
Yeah. I accept that teaching is a difficult job, but I don't think it's the hardest job. You know, the hardest job is when our children become addicted, drug dealers, criminals, and then we want to collect them from the street. That would be the hardest job. So when we are given the opportunity of just teaching nicely in the classroom, even if it is difficult, we should not think that it's very difficult, very, you know, hard. I know that it's hard, but not the hardest. But what we have also to mentally and psychologically prepare ourselves is, at the same time that it is hard and difficult, we should enjoy it. If you enjoy your work, you will always do well. If you don't enjoy, you will drain yourself and you are not also able to deliver. So we have to make ourselves prepared so that we enjoy. Rasulullah said to Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا خَيْرٌ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. If with your efforts, Allah, you are not guiding, Allah guides, but if it is through your efforts, Allah guides one person, is better than everything on which sun is shining. And you know, sun is not shining only on the earth. We normally think it's just Earth. Sun is shining on many other stars and planets. Even sun is shining on the space between the stars and planets. خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. So if we keep telling ourselves this thing and reminding ourselves, then we will start enjoying. So this is second point. The third point, we need system. We need good environment. My understanding is that the greatest success in education does not necessarily come from the formal teaching in the classroom. The role of the peers, the atmosphere, the environment is much more important. If I, for example, look at my experience in Hose, or in the schools, most of my way of being, whatever I am, which is nothing to be proud of, but anyway, most of my being is not coming from my teachers who taught me different subjects, even Islam. Most of my success comes from my friends, from my relation with some of my teachers outside classroom, some of them that I took as my role model, as my examples. So, if we have a good environment that friends, classmates, other teachers, activities, trips, all these things work together, then it will be very successful. But if you want to put all the job on the teacher, and even parents want to feel, you know, relaxed and just, I'm sending my kid to the best madrasa, that's enough. No, this is not going to work, and the teachers would be exhausted, and we are not going to achieve a lot. So we need to have the whole system working together. With you being here, no one dares to ask us. Oh, there is a brave person.
Yes. He wants to ask.
Yes.
So following on from the question you had earlier, regarding students who are challenging, I understand it can be difficult to deal with them, but as teachers, not that I'm teaching at the moment, but isn't it our obligation to make sure that we guide them so that they can integrate in society? But if we as their Muslim peers or their teachers are to put them, shun them into different groups, or not necessarily wrong things, if they brought them, maybe always having that kind of perception that as Muslims I will stand away and so I'll go to somewhere else where they can accept me, whether that's with drugs or gangs, and wouldn't then that come back to us as the teachers who took me away? So is there something better, like maybe one-on-one sessions or maybe having discussion groups which could tackle these students as opposed to us having this mentality where let's keep people aside from the good children?
I think there is no single answer to this question. It very much depends. So you have to be realistic. You should see how much you can do. Don't, you know, expect too much from yourself. Don't expect too much from your madrasa. See what can you really do. If you can keep your madrasa, your classroom under control, and with some patience and painstaking, improve that person, mashallah, it's a great job. But don't just feel pity and, you know, undertake something that you know is not going to work. And the whole class is going to, you know, fail. So you have to be here very rational, very careful, and look at it in a very, you know, a scholarly way. Maybe you need to discuss with other teachers, with your principals, to see what should we do. So we don't want to get rid of people just because they have difficulties. We have to be responsible, but sometimes we have no other choice because it's a system. And if I want to work and spend all my time on this case, what about other? So we have to find what's the best solution for every case. There is no single answer for all these cases.